things of Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read one again in verses 8 through 10. Let us stand and read God's holy and inspired and air word. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Looking last week at these three verses, and we're going to continue to look at them for a couple more weeks after this. What we're doing as we study these three verses is we're looking at the important words that are found in the statement that Paul makes, because I think it's necessary for us as Christians to comprehend exactly what it means for us to be Christians, how we become Christians, and the kind of life that we're to lead as a result of our Christian faith. So last week, what we did was we asked the question, what is a Christian? We saw the answer last week as we studied the word grace, and it said a Christian is someone who has been saved by the grace of God. Saved by God's grace. Grace is God's favor given to those who deserve the exact opposite of that favor. To deserve the wrath and curse of God in hell forever. And God is gracious and merciful and gives to us his grace to save us. But he saves us in a particular way. He saves us through faith. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, the Apostle Paul writes. What is faith? What is faith? Very key. Important thing to understand. What Christian faith actually is. Well, let's talk about what it's not. Christians always do that. They start out with these things, interrupt you by telling you, this is not what I'm going to talk about. What I'm not going to talk about, I'm going to tell you what faith is not. Faith is not a strong feeling that you have faith. In other words, faith is not faith in your faith. Now, if you have a strong feeling that you have faith, that is assured, perhaps, but it is not faith itself, because you see, it's possible to have a very great assurance and yet have that assurance based on false hope and false ideas and false things rather than the truth. You see, it's possible to have great assurance and have no faith whatsoever. So faith is not based on your faith, it's not faith in faith. It's possible also for you to have very little assurance that you have true saving faith and yet have all the faith that is necessary for your salvation. Assurance and faith go together, but sometimes there is very little assurance yet there is real, true saving faith in Jesus Christ. So you have to be careful not to base whether or not you have faith on your feelings or lack of feelings, because feelings can deceive you. And I think I mentioned to you once before, there was a lady in a former church that I was pastoring that had a great difficulty with assurance of salvation. And she would come on Sunday morning and she would hear me preach, and I can almost guarantee you that Monday morning, right early, she would knock on my office door and she would want to talk with me about whether or not she was saved. And as we delve into this, as we talk about this, and as we work through this over a long period of time, I came to the conclusion that this woman did have saving faith in Jesus Christ. What she lacked was an assurance that she really had that faith. She could look at herself, and all of us ought to do. She could examine herself, and she could see sin. She could see sin, and she had that shaking feeling that perhaps we didn't have faith at all. assurance and faith are not exactly the same thing. So she had faith, but she had assurance. And we have to continually be reminded of what Scripture has to say about what faith actually is. Faith is also not the feeling or the idea or the point that at one time in your life you walked an aisle or you said a certain prayer. In other words, if you're doing that and thinking that that is what the content of your faith is, you've misplaced it. You're putting faith in a false object. You're putting faith in yourself and faith in your actions. Oh yes, I know I'm saved because 50 years ago at a tent revival meeting, there was an altar call and I responded. As in church in those 50 years ago, I did that. No, that's not faith. Faith is never based on anything that you did in the past or anything that you might do in the future. It's not based on you at all or your actions at all, however meaningful those things might be to you. Faith is not based on your actions. Faith is based on Jesus Christ. Here's the point. And don't take anything off from the sermon that I'll take this on. It simply is this. If you cannot point to the fact that you have an ongoing love and trust in God for what He has done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ, to save you from your sins by His blood, then you have a faulty idea of what faith is all about. Faith is never what you are, or in what you do, but in what Christ has done for you to bring you to God. That's what your faith must be in. Faith is in Jesus Christ. It is to be put in Jesus Christ. There's a Sunday school acrostic that spells faith this way, F-A-I-T-A, forsaking all I trust Him. That's what faith is. Forsaking yourself. Forsaking your deeds, forsaking anything else, forsaking anyone else, forsaking all that you are, all that you have, all that you can ever possibly be. You trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. That's faith. Faith is placed in objective truth. It's grounded in the promises of Almighty God to you. The Bible words faith and believing involve an acceptance and a commitment. An acceptance of the truths of God's holy word. An acceptance of the facts that are taught in Scripture that you are a lost man or woman apart from Jesus Christ. That you have need to have your sins paid for and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acceptance of the truth that God commands you to turn from your sins and trust in His Son for salvation. An acceptance of the promise of God that He will save to the uttermost all who turn to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Acceptance of those things. But also commitment. A commitment to God, to the one who gave those words of promise through His Son. See, it's not enough for you intellectually to recognize that you need to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. You must actually take that step of commitment to Him. Years ago, there was a man who used to wow crowds when they allowed this by walking the tightrope over Niagara Falls. And I wouldn't want to do that. I've had the opportunity in my life to see Niagara Falls one time. And I certainly would not walk to get up on the tightrope and walk from one side of the falls to the other. And he did this on a regular basis. And at one particular point, he asked the crowd, "Do you believe that I could carry someone on my back and walk over to the other side of the falls and back again?" The crowd said, "Oh, yes, we'd love to do that." But he went to one man and said, "You get on my back." "Oh, no." Now, the fellow believed that this guy could carry someone across. But he faith that the man can carry the cross. He has maybe an intellectual commitment. Oh yeah, I think that I can do it. I think he can do it. I'm not ready. Faith is commitment as well. If you're a starving man, you have to recognize, not only recognize the food is necessary to save your life, but when somebody sets a 7-course meal in front of you, you actually have to eat that meal to survive. You actually have to trust in Jesus Christ personally to survive. That's what faith is. It's not just recognizing food is necessary, but it's eating it. It's not just recognizing that he can carry you, but getting on his back. So they cherish commitment. Trust has a sure object, and that is none other than our Savior Jesus Christ. And so faith means believing in Jesus. And in the New Testament, the words believe in and believe upon are used in a unique way to describe faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't find that in the pagan Greek literature, and what these words indicate in the Bible is the idea of your trust going out and latching on to the one in whom you trust, Jesus Christ, in confidence that he is who he says he is, and that he has done what he says he has done, and he will do for you what he says he will do for you. That's trust. Trust in the Christ revealed in Scripture. You see, there's certain things you need to know about Jesus in order to be saved also. You need to know the Jesus of the Bible, Jesus revealed in Scripture, who is both God and man at the same time, who is the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. You've got to have a proper view of who he is and what he has done for you to be saved. Now, these objective facts are set out in black and white in the pages of the Bible. Not all the red and white, too, depending on the type of Bible you've got against it. But it's only in the Bible that you can learn what you must know about Christ to be saved. It's in Christ. It's in the Bible that you learn that Jesus lived and died and rose and ascended and reigned. Christ actually did live on earth as a man. He was not an imaginary character. Not something that someone made up because it sounds like a good story. He truly, really lived. For evidence that Jesus Christ lived and walked on earth, and that Julius Caesar ruled Rome. Amazing thing. God provides that. You also need to understand and trust and believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life while on earth, and that this perfection of this life, this righteous life, is imputed to or credited to the account of sinners who trust in him. And so your righteousness and your righteous standing before God depends on what Jesus Christ earned and what he did. And that's credited to your account. You need to also believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for sins of people from all nations and races and languages and times in history and all on the face of the earth. You have to believe that the grave did not hold him with the resurrection and the life. That he rose from the grave on the third day, never died again according to the Scriptures. That he rose and ascended bodily into heaven and is now located at the place of the power in the universe, the right hand of Almighty God on his throne. That he is ruling and reigning and shall do so and continue to do so in the interest of his people. And that every enemy shall be put down one by one, until the last enemy, death itself, is finally defeated, and then Christ shall return in victory to raise the living of the dead. So, true faith is not a faith that is without content. It is a faith that is based upon the truth of God's holy word. Many years ago, an English preacher by the name of J.C. Ryle wrote this about faith. He said, saving faith is the hand of the soul. The sinner is like a drowning man at the point of sinking. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ holding out help to him. He grasps him and saved. This is faith. Saving faith is the eye of the soul. The sinner is like an Israelite bitten by the fiery serpent in the wilderness at the point of death. the Lord Jesus Christ is offering them like the brazen serpent lifted up, set up for his cure. He looks at Christ and is healed. This is faith. Saving faith is the mouth of the soul. The sinner is starving for want of food and sick of sore disease. The Lord Jesus Christ is set before him as the bread of life, as the universal medicine. He receives it and is made well and strong. This is faith. Saving faith is the foot of the soul. I'm not going to put my foot up in the air. The sinner is pursuing a deadly enemy and fear being overtaken. The Lord Jesus Christ is put before him as a strong tower, a hiding place, a refuge. He runs into it and is saved. This is faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance, and so forth. You see, what hope is in Scripture is not a hope so. It's not a hope so. I hope it won't rain tomorrow, or I hope it will rain tomorrow. It could happen either way. And it doesn't matter what the meteorologist says, because they're wrong half the time anyway, right? It's supposed to be a science. And I know that there are a lot of scientific principles involved in it. But let's face it, they're wrong half the time. Because God's in charge of the weather. And sometimes, weather patterns show different ways. And so, we can have I hope it won't do this tomorrow, and it still does that tomorrow. And you can hope whether it rains or won't rain, but your hoping doesn't affect the rain. In the same way, just hoping that everything will turn out all right in your life, with or without God, is not faith. Please understand that. A firm assurance of the truth of God's promises that all the things God says to you in Jesus Christ will be fulfilled. That is faith. Such things that you hope come to pass are the promises of God. Based on the fact that God is God, He doesn't lie. He tells us that. He's God who does not change. He's God who does not lie. Unlike men who do both. You change constantly. Move on, as well as commit other sins. God has the power to accomplish everything He desires to accomplish. And so you can know with certainty when God tells you that He will accomplish what He promises for you in the Word of God, that He will indeed do that, that He will keep you firmly in His hand so that no one can snatch you away and cause you to lose your salvation. Listen to what Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. God promises, and you need to trust by faith in the promise that He will enable you to persevere to the very end. Your life. He promises that He will raise you up the last day. I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, Jesus said, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given to me, I will lose nothing, but raise it up the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Jesus is on and believes in Him. Faith. And so, your assurance of faith is not based on you, it's based on Him. It's not based on how good you are, it's not based on how firmly you think you can latch on to or hold on to God. It's based on God's goodness toward you in Jesus Christ. It's based on the firm grasp that He has of you to keep you from falling and to present you to Himself spotless on that day. All of us in this room that have raised small children know what it's like when your little one is just at the point of learning to walk. He or she has learned to stand up and can kind of totter around a little bit as long as she holds on to something. But she's not really able to stand completely on her own. And she lets go, she goes plump. Now the good thing is, God built babies close to the ground, and God gave us wisdom, gave them diapers. So that when a man on the biggest muscle in the body is also fat. Okay? It doesn't hurt them too much. They just go on. When they finally learn to walk, what often happens, and I know you've seen this, and you've done this, is you reach over, you grab a hold of that little baby's hand. Baby's up like this, holding on to your hand. You're down here. And they are taking a few steps, and all of a sudden she trips and starts to fall. What keeps her from falling on the ground? Is it her strong grasp on your hand? The fact that you as an adult have a grasp on her hand and not let go. What keeps you from falling into hell, sir? It's God's strong grasp on you in Jesus Christ. It's not how strong you are, it's how strong God is. Assurance is based on Christ's work, God's work. And so it's not spiritual arrogance to say that you know that you have salvation, and that your salvation is secure, because the security of your salvation is based in Jesus, it's not based in you. Faith is also, as Hebrews says, the evidence of things not seen. Knowledge of things that you can't see with the naked eye. An understanding of things that scientists tell you they can't understand. A knowledge of the fact that God is in charge of all the earth. Now, the world refuses to recognize this, but you, Christians, you can know this for a fact because you trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And you can know it to be true by the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit that bears in your heart. As you trust the objective truths of the Word of God, you can have a certainty of eternal salvation based on the certain promises of God. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abides on him. You also have a conviction that the same God who began a good work in you, in your heart, your life, by giving you His grace through faith, will bring you all the way through all life's trials with a firm faith in Him. Being confident of this very thing, Paul told the Philippians, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, God's not going to take you far away from God. God's not going to bring you to salvation and let you go 10 or 15 or 50 years down the road and then say, oh my, I'm sorry, I never said it. God is going to complete that work of salvation in you. And so you can have a conviction, a firm conviction of all of the events of your life, whether you were turning good or bad. They're all designed by God to bring you closer to Him. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's a hard thing to grasp. It's a hard thing to submit to. But it's the truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. Conviction of God is a mystery promise. That God will not let you be overcome by sin. That God will not ever put on you too much that you cannot bear it by His grace. No temptation is overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But along with the temptation, He will also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it, to stand up under it. Do you have this kind of faith? Are you standing before God right now with the conviction that your sins are paid for, that your sins are covered by the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Are you certain that no matter what the trial, that He will keep you in Christ, that He will not let you go? If you are, then you have saving faith, and you have an assurance of that faith. And if you don't, then perhaps either you don't have saving faith, or you have very little assurance. Or maybe even you don't have any faith at all. That's the other question. If I were to die right now, if I were to stand before God, and God would ask me a question, and say to me, why should I let you into heaven? What would I answer? If your answer is, try to be good, try to live by the golden rule, causing to cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth and punishment forever. Because you'll never be good enough. You're not starting from zero, you're starting from a deficit. You're starting from a hole in the ground. You're starting at the center. And you'll never be good enough to God. Never. No matter how hard you try, no matter how long you work, never. But if your answer is, as the psalm says, nothing of my own I bring, only to the cross I cling, then you are showing that you have true faith in Jesus Christ. It is His righteousness that is perfect and it is credited to you. And it is His blood that has been shed on the cross in place of your blood. Therefore, God will admit you to heaven. See, the only key that unlocks the gate of heaven is Jesus Christ. The way you deal with it is by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,